first version was like, but I know that you have Paven leading off.
I feel very comfortable with his at-bats and him surveying balls and strikes, and he's not going to change his approach whether he's leading off, hitting fifth, or hitting seventh. So those were my expectations, and that's what he's given me so far. And we'll see how the day goes. So, but you know, I know I was going to get asked about this, and I'm glad that we can get it out there, because I've been talking to the players about not caring where they hit in the lineup, just going out and being the best version of yourself, not based on what a typical leadoff hitter does or a typical fourth hitter does. No matter where you hit, I'm just trying to get the most out of a lineup, the potential of a lineup to score as many runs as possible. And I think I've been trying to outline that to you guys. It's a little different for me, but I think it's the healthiest way for us to go out and attack and win baseball games.
Nick Pecoro.
Just a quick follow-up on the question Zach asked. I also saw a lineup that was tweeted when I went to open it. The tweet had been deleted. Was there a lineup change today? I didn't see the first one.
There shouldn't have been. No. I'm not sure. I wrote one lineup out. Maybe there was an assumption. I don't know. They had a little change in their rotation. They were not sure what was going to be happening with Gray, their day three starter. So we had been mulling over different options or different thoughts internally, and having conversations internally. However, I never wrote any other lineup about it except for the one that I gave to Pipe yesterday.
Okay, and then to follow up on what you were saying there a minute ago. I think I asked you about this a few weeks ago, but Cattell was a guy who made comments to us about maybe behaving differently or, you know, taking a different approach into the leadoff spot. Was that a thing that was on your mind? Have you talked to him specifically about that?
I've had indirect conversations with just about everybody, and, you know, and trying to express the mindset that I just shared with you. Just go out and be the best version of yourself and not carry around what the typical leadoff hitter did in 1990. The game is changing. We've got to transition our thoughts that way, and I think the players need to as well. So we've been outlining that to them. But, you know, the way I look at it, you know, you're the best hitter in the lineup typically is hitting second, right? And Cattell is fitting that.
David Brea.
Hey, Tori, just had a question about the bullpen. I know you brought in Joaquim and Tyler because they were, like, you know, veterans and two of the top four in active games played, and played in like 2 million games, and within an inning between them, they're gone for at least a little while. How does the leadership kind of evolve in the bullpen? I know you've still got Davinsky and some guys who've done it before, but is leadership overrated, or are you worried about that back there?
Yeah, well, first of all, we miss those guys. We miss who they are as people and as competitors, and we know that they're both mending and healing day by day to get back here as fast as possible. Can you replace that type of veteran leadership? It's impossible. But what it does is give other players opportunities to go out and perform, show us what they can do, and then continue to, you know, do enough of the right things, ask enough of the right questions to continue growing as an individual and as a human being day by day. You know, so those are some of my demands. I want these players to be good baseball players, and I also want them to be very good human beings. So we're always there, and we're equipped for any type of conversation in that area. Mike Fetters does an unbelievable job down there in the bullpen, helping these guys grow day by day. Matt Hergis with the entire group in different settings, but we're gonna miss it. But it's time for other guys to step up and understand what their roles are and know how important they are to this organization. And we raise our young players to think that way. We raise our young players to be ready and comfortable. We raise them to feel like they fit in on day one and be respectful and go out and do your job. So I think we miss the leadership, but I think the young players are ready for these challenges.
Zach Buchanan.
Sorry, I just had, another lineup question. You have Geraldo at short again. Just a day off for Josh, having played four in a row, or is there anything else going on there?
No, nothing's going on. Perdomo did an unbelievable job, and he anchored us down at shortstop, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to get some consistent at-bats. Now, how many starts does he make consecutively, or how many starts will he make in a week? I don't want to put a number on that. I'm going to just base it off of, you know, what the need is right now, and letting him continue to get comfortable is a priority for me. Josh has been working really hard through the course of spring training with practically 0 days off to make the team and B, become the backup shortstop, which he did. He had four games where there was a little bit of a grind, where it was a little bit of a grind for him. So I just want to give him a little mental blow, but he'll be back in there.
Jack Summers.
Torrey, two quick questions. First of all, on Joaquin, is it a grade 1, 2, or 3 strain?
I don't know that answer exactly. And I'm not sure that I got that information. It's severe enough that he's going to be out for 10 days. We were hoping that it would be a day-to-day thing, and that wasn't the case. He felt it when he ran to first base. He didn't necessarily feel it when he was throwing, so he felt comfortable enough to say that he could get through the outing, and it didn't happen. So, he's got 10 days to recuperate, and then we'll reevaluate at that point, or as we're getting closer to that day, I'll just keep you guys informed as to what he's doing and his progress.
Okay, thank you. My second question, back to the lineup, another follow-up question there. I know you need a lot of help on the lineups. So the way you just described it, eschewing the traditional roles and so forth, the impetus for that, is that coming from you more, or is that coming from the front office perhaps?
No, the front office does an unbelievable job of allowing me the freedom to go and do what I want to do on a daily basis from the dugout level, and I'm thankful for that. But I will say that I do have unbelievable conversations with everybody in the front office is much as I do with staff members. I'm always on a search for information, and I've got to learn and grow year by year. I don't want to get stuck in 2017, and just managing the team the way that this year's team, the way that I know how and the best way that I possibly can, is to have a little flexibility, a little versatility to the lineup. So this is my idea. These have been things that I've been thinking about for a long time, but I do get a ton of input from everybody around me.
All right, great. Thanks, Troy.
Nick Pecoro.
Was Soria at all bothered by that calf prior to that play covering first, or was that when it first popped up?
I think it jumped up and grabbed for the most part, covering first base. I'm sure that there are normal aches and pains that come along with the season and the start of the season and the grind of spring training, but I would never have put him in a game had he not been ready or healthy enough to go in that game.
Paul Richardson.
Troy, you've managed at this field a whole bunch. Is there an approach that's different because the ball seems to travel, as everyone knows, very well at Coors?
Yeah, I make some subtle adjustments. I usually project four and a half batters per inning. When we're at Coors, I'll project 5.5 to 6 batters per inning. No lead is safe. A 10-2 game in the sixth inning is still an incredible opportunity for the team that's trailing to come back and score some runs. A 4-run lead can disappear in the ninth inning is fast here as it can anywhere else in this league. So we know the ground rules going in. It's just about making some subtle adjustments. And I think we've done a good job of coming in here at Coors and playing good baseball games.
Zach Buchanan.
I just wanted to ask for updates on Nick Ahmed, Cole Calhoun, and Zach Gallen.
Yeah, got a chance to speak to all three of those guys today. Cole is scheduled to play 3 to 5 innings on defense, hot and live game, full go, and he's been feeling very, very good. He had a couple of baseball moves on the bases in his last start. He had the day off yesterday, where it was kind of more reactive, and he said he felt good there. Nick Ahmed had been resting for the past couple of days. Today he's going to hit the cage, resume normal baseball activity in a controlled environment, perhaps go out and take some ground balls. Zach Gallen is scheduled to throw 70 to 80 pitches on Wednesday. And he threw a number of, he threw a complete bullpen with a number of curveballs thrown yesterday and felt very, very good. So everybody's trending in a very positive direction.
Nick Pecora.
With the injury to Soria, and I guess also the, you know, factoring in Clifford as well, I'm wondering, does this make it more difficult, or is it almost easier as it relates to your kind of plans with no roles? Is it make it easier to make those kinds of adjustments, or is it harder to operate your bullpen that way?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking and where you're shaping it, or how you're shaping it. With a veteran who typically knows roles and wants roles, do you feel less pressure now that you can have a bullpen that's going to be, you know, matching up rather than have those roles? So yes and no. I had been talking to that group for the majority of, mostly the tail end of spring training as we started to shape our team a little bit and explain what my thoughts were. So they were on board. They were 100% on board. A little new to them, but they were going to be in the back end. But I think, knowing what we know now, and we have a couple of veteran athletes stepping away, I think the rest of the guys will be able to grasp on to what my expectations are a little bit easier. But somebody's going to emerge. A couple guys are going to emerge out of this, especially while we're minus those two veterans. So, but it's about getting an opportunity, and I'm going to match up the best way I know how to have success.
Last two questions, Zach.
Speaking of getting an opportunity, what made Matt Peacock the guy for you guys?
He's got good stuff, got real good stuff, and he has deserved this opportunity, and all of our eyes, and he attacks the zone. He's got three quality pitches, and he's fearless, and we're all super excited about this opportunity for him. He's a great story, one of perseverance. As an amateur, and he's getting an opportunity in professional baseball to progress through our system, which he did, accepted coaching, got better, and he's a big leader. So we're all excited by that.
Nick Pecora.
Yeah, I was also going to ask about Peacock. How do you feel like he has improved from the time when he kind of first, I guess he probably got on your radar last spring. How is he better now than he was then?
Yeah, I mean, he's able to shape more than just one pitch. He's got a very good fastball. He's got very good fastball location. He's fearless with that pitch, but he's also able to throw two other pitches in the zone now and land them the right way. So we have a lot of confidence in his ability to go out there and control his heartbeat and execute. And he'll get his opportunity. We're all excited about that.
All right, guys, we'll have Matt Peacock up next.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tori.
Thank you.